Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Plus Pet Talk Radio with me, Deborah Wolf, your host. And today I just wanted to tell you there was a terrible incident this morning on the news in South Calgary, big city hospital. There was a cougar there and they were on him for a few hours and they had the conservation, the police, everybody out there, and they tried to catch him, and in the end they actually had to kill him. And I want to know why. I don't understand why they couldn't use those tranquilizer guns they had, why they had to use a real bullet. Seems to me like I hear this too much. There were three bears this week that kept the conservation officers busy in Calgary. So they had a busy week. And rounding out your pet news, because that's a little bit on the negative, I'll give you a positive. Over in Costa Rica, a manta ray seemed to sense that the people swimming and diving would help him. A gigantic manta ray swam over to divers because he was caught in fishing line and he allowed them to free him. So it's pretty incredible what animals can do. Talking about animal-human communication is what we're going to be doing today. We have three guests, two we've had before, Dennis and Michelle. You all know them from AfterlifeData.com, and Dusty Rainbolt from DustyCatWriter.com. But today we also have a brand new guest, and I'm searching for the information here. Brand new. I got cut off today on the way in, as you probably heard. So we're trying to salvage all that. And I know I was just at your website, Tara. Tara Ventura is our final guest, rounding out the panel, about animal-human communication and maybe animal-human communication that we all know is there, but we're a little bit skeptical about, the stuff you can't measure, maybe. So we're talking about, well, the website, themagicalmatrix.com, and we're talking to Tara Ventura. Welcome to the show, Tara.
Thank you, Deborah. Thank you. So glad to be here.
Well, it's good to have you, too. I'm going to welcome everybody else, Dennis and Michelle. Welcome.
Hi, Deborah.
Hey, how are you? We're glad to be back.
I'm really, really well. And Dusty, I'm glad to have you along. I know last time you were on, we talked about the Time Magazine article, and in it, there are a whole bunch of assertions that I disagreed with. I'm betting you did too. Things where it's a whole article on how historically we've not recognized the full potential of animals. Many articles in this latest edition of Time. And yet throughout it, they're still continuing to devalue some of the skills and strengths I see animals exhibiting all the time. So it seems chronic. But today we're going to take a walk on that other side. So I guess, who's got the barking dog? Who's that?
I do.
Is that,
I
that's
do.
Dusty?
By the way, I'm not just a cat person. I'm a dog person, too.
Dusty the cat writer has a barking dog. Well, shame on you. You better not tell that at the cat writer's annual conference. I don't think that'll go over too well. Actually, the world isn't as cat versus dog as some make it out to be. In fact, many people own both. So, Dennis and Michelle, we've talked before about people and some of the data you have. And I'd love to let you start so Tara can hear what we've been talking about people being able to communicate with pets in ways that aren't so straightforward, not just saying come and the dog comes, but actually speaking with a pet who's already gone from the earth, died, or speaking with a pet without saying a word. So I'd love to open it up to you, Dennis and Michelle, so you can introduce the topic to Tara.
Well, thank you so much. Tara, we've been talking about a lot of different things over the last few weeks. And, you know, one of them, Deborah, you mentioned before, you know, you're talking about measuring things. You know, we talked about this once before. You know, just because you can't measure it right now doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And I think that's one of the most important things that we have to remember. You know, hundreds of years ago, you know, how did we measure anything that was, you know, inside the human body, for example, you know, vitamins, minerals, you know, any of that stuff. But that doesn't mean that it didn't exist. And I think the same thing holds true when we're talking about communication. Just because we cannot, you know, physically measure something, we can't put some type of a piece of equipment on it to measure something, doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. And I think that's one of the biggest hurdles that we all have to get over in terms of being able to communicate with our animals, being able to communicate with people who have already passed, and, you know, just communicating with each other as well. you know as well as I do, if you're sitting in a room and somebody comes in, and maybe they're a very powerful energy, and you get kind of like this really weird feeling from them, you know, what's that about? Can you measure that on some kind of piece of equipment? No, but your body sure has. So, you know, that's the type of thing that we've been addressing. Tara, I don't know if you want to kind of jump on that a little bit.
Well, you know, absolutely. I totally agree with you, Michelle. This is totally, you know, right brain stuff, in our intuitive side, our imaginative side, and our spiritual side, really. It's connecting with the heart space. So when we can't see it, we've been taught for so long that we have to see it. We have to see the results. It has to be in writing or, you know, stamped on our forehead. But no, not really. We're tuning into really, you know, we're spiritual beings with a human body, right?
Right.
And or doggy beings with a human body. And so I totally feel that way, and I know we all pick up on, you know, our animals. I was teaching a class the other night, and this was so funny. I was talking about my dog, how much I love her. She's almost 14. She's in pretty good health, but, you know, almost 14. And I was mentioning to her this class was at a distance. And when I got home, my husband said that this particular evening that she was playful during the time that I was gone, and she was happy and excited. And I really think that she was communicating with me. And what's really strange is after the class, one of my students, who's an intuitive, very intuitive, said, you know what, there is a black and white dog in here. She says, I'm feeling a black and white dog. I'm seeing one. And I said, well, mine is. She said, is she about yay high? And I said, yes. And she said, well, she feels like she's here with us. And so whether they're passed over or whether they're still on this earthly plane, I do feel that we can feel them. They communicate with us because they are closer to the spiritual realm maybe than we are. You know,
yeah,
you
I think that too.
Yeah.
This is their gift. This is what they excel at. I think I agree with both of you ladies, and I would take it one step farther. I think we're not only taught to ignore facts if we can't prove them, but we're also taught, even when we do see evidence, to kind of ignore it. So all of a sudden, this woman knows what your dog looks like, could draw a picture of it, but we're going to pretend that that's not real. Like, you know, or my dog gets absolutely frantic and is running around the house when a plane I'm on starts circling Vancouver airspace. And he does it every time. Like, oh, but we're going to pretend that's not happening? Come on.
Right. Absolutely.
Dusty, you've got stuff to add to this, right? Welcome, Dusty. Join our conversation, please.
Well, hi. Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate you getting me in on these amazing conversations. You know, I think that there is something that those of us that are in our human body, or especially human beings, just don't want to acknowledge. And I think there is a special communication and a special bond that goes beyond what we understand.
And, you know, sometimes I think we're forced to recognize it. No one can say elephants don't know when tsunamis are coming. We can't say that anymore, right? Well, as much as they want to say that, they can't say that. And, you know, the same thing for dogs. You can't say that a dog doesn't know when a thunderstorm is coming. Yeah, good one. You know, you can't say there's so many things that despite, like, they just can't argue it anymore. There's just overwhelming proof. When a dog somehow figures out that a kid has a low sugar level and starts waking the kid up, you know, and becomes a diabetic service dog without ever being trained. Okay, that dog smells, sees, hears, understands things we just don't. And so I think there's kind of overwhelming proof coming in now where even the people who want to dismiss all this as flaky have to give up, because it's not. It's not flaky. Dogs can find cancer. Dogs can detect heart attacks. Dogs can help diabetic children live better lives because they know when they're in trouble and when no one else does. So dogs are better than machines, better than science, I'd say.
your doggy, and I love you, and you know that I really do.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. At clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Hey, pet lovers, listen up. Purr Spray Pet, all-natural, non-toxic spray for all of your pet problems. Proven safe to use for their skin, eyes, and ears. Helps calm and heal wounds, hot spots, insect bites, and lots more. Will not sting, and very safe to use, even for your feathered friends. To find out how you can keep your pets happy and healthy, go to purrspraypet.com. That's purrspraypet.com. purrspraypet.com. Or call us now at 386-310-3924.
I'm your doggy, and I love you, and you know that I really do.
Anybody want to argue with me? I don't think so. No,
I think we all agree.
Well, what about cats, Dusty? I'm all big on the whole dog connection, but I think cats are just as psychic.
Oh, absolutely. You know, a lot of this, I think, has to do with enhanced senses. I mean, they can hear frequencies we can't hear. They can see, they have a vision at night. I mean, you know, they have so much more. And so, you know, is it paranormal? I don't know, but I do know that they sense so many things that we don't. And, you know, the elephants, they don't know if they... The truth is there were almost no animals that were killed in the Indonesian tsunamis. I mean, no.
Yeah, I know.
You know, the ones that were killed were animals that were locked up. So it's just amazing.
Didn't they know? Yeah, they said they knew ahead of time. They walked up to a hill or a mountain or something. They found a lot of them on top because they knew ahead of time,
yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah, elephants broke out of their tethers and stampeded to the mountains. That's what happened. People noticed that all these elephants were leaving. You know, I'm following the elephants. I don't know why people didn't.
Right.
Like, that's the thing. Despite all this evidence, people still thought, oh, that's nothing. I mean, it's nothing. When all the animals are running away, I run too.
There was one little girl, she was about 9 years old, and she had made friends with an elephant, can't remember his name, but he was a youngster, and so the handler would let her ride on his back and play with him and feed him, and you know, he would curl his trunk around this little girl, and she was actually riding him, and he broke away, and he took her,
wow.
And so of course the handler's like, whoa, come back here, and the handler followed them, and as it turned out, her entire family survived because they were all chasing the elephant that had kidnapped their daughter to save her life. So pretty
wow.
Amazing.
Wow. That is a great one. There's some amazing examples of animals figuring out their humans are in trouble and coming to the rescue. Lots of this with cats and dogs. But sometimes I think we doubt it. Tara, in your experience, have you had anything like this where you do have the proof and yet people still doubt it?
You You know, it's interesting you bring that up. I'll just tell you a story, something my sister told me last week. And she says she wishes she had it on video, but she had had two labs. One is in doggy heaven now, and one she still has. And they like to play with the same ball. And the one that's alive now, the one that she has, was playing with this ball last week. The ball rolled under the dresser. She kneeled down on her knees, you know, saying, okay, I'll get it out for you. And all of a sudden, the ball shot. I mean, not dribbled or rolled. It shot out from underneath the dresser, landed right in front of Maggie, who is her current dog, right in front of her paws. Even the dog was like, whoa, what just happened here? Wow. So, you know, I think there's a lot of people that have experiences that don't even say anything because we're like, well, I'm not sure what other people will think of me. But yes, in talking with clients, a lot of times, you know, I'll be talking with them and their dog will show up, whether past or present. So there's some
That's
really...
That's just wild. So you see it or hear it, smell it, like all of the above?
You know, interesting. I can, as you say that, because I'll ask my clients to take a deep breath, and then we go into this really great feeling of, you know, the alpha stage. And that's really, you know, where dogs are coming from. They're not in this beta thinking all the time. And cats, you know, these animals are more into the alpha, which is the relaxed stage. So, yes, I pick up on smells. And, in fact, I was in a meditation one time, and I could literally pick up on my dog's. It was like she was sitting in front of me, her hair, her smell, her feeling, and I pick up on what they're trying to communicate, what they want to say, what they want to tell their owners. It's really very valuable.
This makes me, this almost makes me think, and I've never even thought of this before, but you know how sometimes children, when they're falling asleep, they'll have this dream where they're floating over the backyard, and it's like the precursor that later some people who are really gifted psychically can go and astral project. Right? Okay. They get out of their body and they leave their body. It sounds to me like animals can do that. It sounds to me like the animal is leaving its body at home in the kitchen and coming over to your session. Is that what you think is going on?
You know, I do. And that's great that you say that, because, and I'm getting chills up and down my body, and that's always an affirmative for me, being an empathic. And yes, I feel like she was leaving her body, teletransmitting, astral traveling, to the class, to the session, and so isn't that awesome?
That would explain why so many animals know when their owner dies. I have this a lot in my, you know, I run a boarding kennel, breeding kennel, and sometimes someone will have a sick relative, and the dog will be here, and you can tell the day they die. You can tell. It's the dog knows, which now makes more sense to me. I never knew why that was, but they do. Yeah. So, Dennis and Michelle, have you got something to add here? We haven't heard from you in a little while. We haven't heard from you at all today. Let's go, Dennis.
I mean, you know, when you listen to all these experiences and that, one of the underlying assumptions that has been around for at least 2,000 years is that animals don't have souls. And so if they don't have souls, then it justifies treating them the way that we have treated them over the last at least the last couple hundred years, especially with the type of philosophy that everyone assumes that animals are soulless and senseless and don't have consciousness. But basically, the experiences that everyone's been describing today is describing a definite consciousness within the animal. And there's been so many reports of animals being seen in the astral plane and also being notified and communicated with while they're in the afterlife, and even to the point where we've gotten enough detail from, say, Michael Newton's work to indicate that there's special areas where animals are actually located, where consciousness there has taken the form of the animal form and has its own evolution that it's going through. So I think there's a change going on just by virtue of the way everyone's relaying the experiences that they've had with animals that are over and above what everyone's been taught over the last couple hundred years.
Well, it kind of started with Descartes. He really wanted to prove that animals felt, knew nothing, anything was allowed on them. And since, but even then, even before then, since then, around then, there were always other people arguing otherwise.
No, well, it actually goes back to basically the church. You know, in order for justification for somebody dying on a cross and saving your sins, if animals have souls, then what sins do they have to be saved? In which case, then, you know, the logical conclusion was that animals then must be soulless in order to justify that whole scenario. But and as a result, you know, it's taken to the extreme now where, you know, you have the slaughterhouses and it's really difficult to even eat the meat of animals because of the vibratory results of what they've gone through just to get to the place where they're in the supermarket. But anyway.
Well, yeah, even if you don't care about the pain the animal went through, there's the fact that you're eating tainted meat because the animal was so stressed that that's what you're going to eat.
Exactly.
And what it was fed and the antibiotics and all of that. So there's a justification either way for not eating badly treated animals. But yeah, the new Time magazine is really thorough in covering this, and I'm finding it really interesting. I still think it's underrating the animals, but it's a really good read for anybody interested in comparing animals of different species to humans. It's a really, really good read right now. Okay, so we have to go to commercial. I missed the first one somehow. It happened. That's just what happens when it's pouring rain in the rainforest like it is right now. We're anticipating the salmon coming up our river any minute, and you can tell the eagles keep flying over, the birds are all talking about it, everybody's getting ready. So we'll be back in just a minute. We're going to go to commercial break. We'll be back, and we're going to talk more about this idea of whether animals, well, I think we're going to go beyond whether they have a soul or not. I think we're going to talk about more of these unbelievable and, well, actually, they're totally believable because there's so many of them, experiences where animals can really reach and communicate with us in ways that just dwarf our communication abilities. So stay tuned. Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
Treat your furry best friend with a Clear Conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Hey, pet lovers, listen up. Purr Spray Pet, all natural, non-toxic spray for all of your pet problems. Proven safe to use for their skin, eyes, and ears. Helps calm and heal wounds, hot spots, insect bites, and lots more. Will not sting, and very safe to use, even for your feathered friends. To find out how you can keep your pets happy and healthy, go to purrspraypet.com. That's purrspraypet.com. purrspraypet.com. Or call us now at 386-310-3924. Hello, you're back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and we're talking about animals and their abilities. And when you think of something like the dolphin, okay, clearly, they can communicate beyond what we can, not just verbally, but verbally. They can do 200 clicks in a minute, and in a second, rather, and that's a normal thing. That's a normal speech. They can go up to 2,000 if they want to. So they're thinking and talking at a speed way faster than we could ever even think about, ever contemplate. They're geniuses compared to us. We're not the geniuses. We're not the top of that arc, that pyramid we like to think ourselves at. And, you know, the apes, well, they'd give us a good run for our money in a lot of ways, too. I even think canines and felines, in some of the survival and adaptive tests, I think they'd blow us out of the water. But most certainly, with all of it, most of the animals I'm talking about today, dogs, cats, dolphins, monkeys, they can communicate with other species, including humans, way better than we can. We might know 10 words of dog to their 100 words of human. And I find that, I just find it so astonishing that people still think they're dumber than us. What do you guys think? What about you, Dusty? How many words does a cat know? A bright cat.
I know there was a kitty named Princess Kitty. She could follow, or she could obey over 100 commands. So I think, that, you know, you have to wonder. We expect dogs and cats to respond to what we say, sit, stay, you know, down, dinner time, all these things. But who's more intelligent? We look at the cat, who communicates all the time with his whiskers and his ears and his eyes and his tail and his posture, and people say, oh, well, you know, they don't communicate. They don't talk to us. It's like, well, of course they do. And, of course, it's the same thing with dogs. We expect the dogs to understand us, but we don't take the time to understand what they're saying. So, as a matter of fact, it's funny, right now we have a cat fence, and I've been joking all day about the fact that our cats have figured out how to get out. And here they have a brain the size of a plum, and they are still outthinking us. You know, we'll plug a hole, and they'll find another one. It's like, oh, my God, these animals are outthinking us.
Well, and I didn't even name raccoons, which are incredible thinkers, adaptive thinkers, and genetically they learn generation to generation. So,
and worse than that, they have an opposable thumb.
Yes. So, I mean, the raccoons might take over the earth. They've certainly taken over parts of Japan as a result of a cartoon from the 70s that made a lot of Japanese import them as pets, let them go, and now they're destroying artifacts. Like, they have a raccoon epidemic. So raccoons, if they want to get at your stuff, it's very hard to stop them. I'm thinking about this animal communication, and, you know, we're talking about a cat understanding that when you say come, you mean come, or a dog understanding 100 things. But I think it goes way deeper than that, and I'll open this up to whoever wants to go next. But the monkeys, the apes that they've been teaching to do sign language, what I find really interesting is that they add to it. So if they're given a new thing like a pumpkin and they've never had it before, they'll describe it with the words they have. They'll call it, you know, giant orange gourd, or whatever basketball I can eat, or, you know, something you might not even consider, but they'll give it a new name. So they're creating language as well and communicating. They're not just parroting. And even the parrots don't just parrot. So I think this desire of ours to belittle everything really gets on my nerves. What do you all think about that?
Well, this is Michelle speaking, and I'd love to address that one for you. You know, one of the things that I think we try to do with our animals is we try to fit them into our communication, and we tend to ignore how they actually communicate. You know, for example, you know, if your cat is hungry, all right, yes, you know, sometimes they will stand there at the appropriate time and meow at you, right? So that's a pretty clear communication to you that you understand. But there's a lot of more subtle ways that they communicate as well. And I'm sure there are dozens and dozens of examples of this, and Dusty may be able to even enlighten us a little bit with some of her stories. But take, for example, also mediums. You know, mediums communicate with animals as well as humans that have passed generally, and they're generally getting their messages in some type of imagery. or some type of smell or some type of vibration. It's not just about speech. And, you know, the most common way that we communicate with each other is through our words, right? So I think one of the things that we need to be careful of as humans is, you know, when we're communicating with our animals, that we pay very close attention to how those animals want to communicate with us, not just how we want to understand their communication. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. And I think horses and dogs are action creatures. So how you move is more important than what you say. And, you know, body posture, movement, direction, speed, position, all that matters so much. If you just think of the border collie when you herd sheep, right away you're visualizing that position of the hunker down dog, you know. And when you think of the horse who runs away from something that startles it, you know, exactly. So the person who jumps up suddenly and the horse bolts, okay, there you go. So and that's a rear in horse language. So I think yeah, we're always looking for words where words won't be. And I'd like to, because we talked about that, let's ask Dusty for some other ways cats communicate. You touched on it earlier, Dusty, and then I think we'll go to Tara to ask what it's like to read animals exactly, because we touched on that too. But first, cats, okay, so 2 minutes left. Well, we'll drag this into the next segment. You guys are going to have to stay tuned and listen on, because Dusty's going to start with some of the things cats do to try to communicate with us stupid humans who usually aren't paying attention. So what do they do, Dusty, besides meow for food?
Well, one of the most adorable things is the silent meow, which, you know, they look at you and they appear to open their mouth and speak, but they don't say anything. It's actually not silent. It's a higher pitch than we can hear, but it's usually when they're asking for something. And another interesting thing about cats is they don't meow to other cats. The meow is communication between a mother and her offspring. And so the kittens will meow to mom because they're hungry. So when they meow to you, that's usually, you know, them asking you for something. But my favorite is the slow blink. If a cat appears to be staring at you and then blinks, that we call it a kitty kiss. And you can do the same thing back, and they will respond to you.
You can do it like a loop. They'll do it over and over. Most of the time, I see that from my cats greeting me. When I walk into a room, they'll stare right at me and close their eyes for a few seconds as if to say, I trust you. And then I do it back, I trust you, you know. And then we move on. But, okay, so we're going to go to break. We'll be back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, to talk about animal-human communication. And we're going to ask Tara what it's like to do a reading. Does the dog or cat decide? Do you decide? How do you do this, and how can people at home try and connect a little better? Stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, with your hostess, Deborah Wolf.
And anytime you're near,
is your itchy dog allergy sad? Did you know that our dogs suffer from the same pollen, dust mite, and mold allergies that we do? Now, veterinarian dermatologist Dr. Christian has formulated Doggy Goo. Doggy Goo is a peanut butter treat for your dog. But Doggy Goo also sublingually builds tolerance to 10 pollens, 2 mites, and 3 molds 100% naturally. Try Doggy Goo. Your dog will Doggy Goo look it up. Call 855-246-2426. The number again is 855-246-2426, or on the web, www.healthygoo.com. Goo spelled G-O-O.
Scratch it. NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA.
Nothing artificial. No sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Listening to Smart Animal Talk. This is Deb Wolf, your host, and we've been talking about animal communication with humans. Animals are much better communicators than we usually give them credit for, especially cross species with us. And we heard from Dusty some ways of looking at your cat a little differently. And now we're going to go with Tara and just find out a little bit. This is themagicalmatrix.com, Tara Ventura. We were talking with Dusty Rainbolt from dustycatwriter.com. And off and on, we've heard from Michelle and Dennis from afterlifedata.com. So you can check all this out afterward. So we're talking with Tara. And I'd like to know, Tara, is there a way we can be more open to receiving things, communicating things?
Well, absolutely. And you know, it's funny, we were talking earlier about, I think it's humans that need to take the lessons, right? Instead of sending our dogs to classes,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely, no question. Dogs needed this. If you just think about it, I mean, even intuitively we know, right? Your kid comes home from school, he didn't make the team. Who knows first that he's sad? Your dog is right on it. Aye, on it. You know, I mean, the animals in your house get it when you're sick. They're tuned in like we aren't. So I think everyone recognizes that one, that they're tuned in like we aren't. We just have to tune in back, right? How do we do that, though?
Tune in back. Okay, so yeah, this is the thing, is to, I feel, you know, listen, be still, so you can open that communication line, the wave vibration of communication. And, you know, I always say, take a couple deep breaths, and just in your mind or verbally say, what do you want me to know? How do you want me to feel? What is it you're trying to tell me? And the first image, you know, say you get an image that comes up, whether it sounds whacked out or not, you know, it may be your animal trying to communicate to you something that's coming up, something that may be happening. Or you might, you know, get a smell or taste in your mouth. It's usually what you were saying earlier, it's not the words, it's the feelings. So, you know, again, being open to the feelings. What is your body telling you when you're saying, you know, how do you want me to feel? Pick up on those vibrations and don't ignore them. Pay attention, because your animal may be saying, you know what, my stomach doesn't feel well. And you may get a feeling in your stomach like, you know, sort of not even nauseated, just sort of a feeling, a pinch or a feeling. Well, that's your, you know, your animal communicating to you. Or, you know, they start scratching their ears, you know, well, maybe even not an earache, but a flea bit me, something like that. So there's so many different ways to listen to your animal and to be still in communicating and ask the questions. You know, ask the questions to them.
You know, one of the easy ways for people to kind of understand this, that animals get our messages other than words, is if you think about, if you've ever been at a dog park, and you've seen someone, I hope this isn't you, it's probably you, but okay, let's pretend it's someone else. There's someone there with their cell phone and their keys and their big giant coffee drink and their car already started, and they're so late and they're so stressed out and they're stomping their foot and they're yelling their dog's name, Lucky, Lucky, over and over and over. And each time they yell their dog's name, it sounds more aggravated and irritated. And you can almost figure out who Lucky is by which dog is pretending not to hear the best, you know, looking the other way, Lucky's not coming to that angry person. He's just not. Now, if the same person put all that down, took a few deep breaths, and pictured Lucky being given a big cookie and a cuddle and being wrestled with in the grass, whatever it is Lucky's into, okay, getting a big tennis ball throw, anything like that, you'd watch Lucky run. Lucky would come. And it's just that easy. And so when I do dog training, a lot of the times, that's the kind of thing I'm doing. I walk into the area and maybe we've run a contest ahead of time. We've got the three baddest dogs in town. And there they are, you know, barking and pulling and lunging and snapping. You can tell who they are in the crowd. There they are off to the side with a big zone of nobody near them. And they come on one at a time on the stage. And the first thing I'm doing before I'm even talking, before the audience even hears me, is I'm talking to each animal. I'm looking at it. I'm thinking about it. I'm picturing it with me. We're already greeting each other before anyone knows. Then they get up and they demonstrate how rotten they are. I let that show because I want people to see that. And right away, I start picturing the dog doing what I want it to do. As I direct it and reward it, and in minutes, it's like magic. It's like I had a wand. People just sit there with their mouths open. The dog had spent all that time tuning into its owner's thoughts, and all the owner was giving it was no, stop, no, don't, stop, no. So the dog never knew what he was supposed to do. So that as soon as I said heel and showed him what heel meant, or sit and showed him what sit meant, oh, the dog's so relieved. Thank you for telling me what you wanted, because this guy's been screaming out nonsense and thinking what he doesn't want, and I can't figure out what he wants. And that's how it is with pets a lot of the time. Is it like that with cats too, Dusty?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Cats, you know, my husband gave me the best bit of information I've ever gotten from anybody, behaviorist, you know. I get to talk to all these amazing people. But my husband gave me the best bit of information. It was, if something pleasant happens every time your cat comes in contact with you, he'll want to be with you. And you know, when you're mad or scared or you know, there have been times when we've been trying to catch cats to go to the vet, and it's just like, oh my God!
That's a great example.
We're running, and it, you know, we're doing it.
That's a great example. If you think about taking your cat to the vet, your cat knows and hides. It's just, don't think about it.
You know what? And that's another thing. You know, I've been doing cat rescue for 27 years, and have fostered literally thousands of cats. And it never fails when you have a kitten or a cat that has to go to an adopt-a-pet or an adoption event, they know. It's just like the vet. You know, they disappear because they know. And, you know, are you actually telling them by going, oh, I'm not taking you to the vet. I'm not taking you to the vet. Or is it a scent that we give off? I don't know. All I know is, they know.
Oh, they read it. They read it right out of your mind. I know they do, because it's near impossible for me to catch cats for the vet. I usually book an appointment, and then whoever I catch goes. And then I have a follow-up appointment for the rest of them.
Okay, so we have to go to break.
But we'll be back with one more segment, and we're going to start with Dennis. I hope you're ready, Dennis. Batter up, Dennis. It's your turn. At Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Stay tuned. It's Deborah Wolf, and we'll be talking more about human-animal communication with Dennis from AfterlifeData.com.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Hello, we're back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And looking through this Time Magazine article, most of it I agree with, but there's a couple of things they just get totally wrong. Like they state that cats will abandon an owner and pick a new owner if they like that person better. Well, that's true. That happens a lot, musical homes with cats. But they say a dog would never do that. Uh-uh, dogs do that. Dogs totally do that. You have to be a really, really crappy dog owner to have your dog give up on you. But I've seen it happen because I was the one the dog went to. So, yes, yes, Robin, yes, you were a crappy dog owner. That's why that lovely, loyal, wonderful creature left you. So anybody out there who has a dog, leave them. It's better off where it went to, I'm sure. Okay, Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Sometimes animals do go where they're wanted more, where they're treated better. And it does take a lot for a dog to leave, but you know what? If a cat or dog really is happier somewhere else, then why not let it live the life it wants? Okay, so we're now talking, and we're talking with Dennis, because you haven't had much turn yet today, Dennis. Is there something you feel like we missed today?
I've been mesmerized listening to all of you.
Oh, nice. Well, is there something you feel like you'd like to add or something we maybe missed or touched on
I have a question for Tara, and that is, has she had any communication with any animals in the afterlife? And what type of communications and what did she find out?
Oh, let's see. You know, it's funny, Dennis. Sometimes when I'm talking or I'm doing a reading for an owner, the animal will come in and, you know, just want to be with the owner. This happened just real recently, and I was standing behind her because that's, you know, where I pick up information is behind the chakra area is what I call it, and the dog was to her right shoulder and just telling her that, you know, he loved her and did a great job, and, you know, there were, of course, tears flowing, but, you know, I'm okay, I'm well now, I feel better. You know, all of those great things that, you know, really we want to hear that we know happen, but it's just, it's the validation. It's the validation they give us. Yeah.
Right. Have you gotten any information from what type of area that they're in or what it's like or any kind of views, any visuals?
Oh, you want to know what heaven's like. I'm with you on that. Anything coming through on what it's like beyond? Anything like that?
That is so great you asked that question because I was going to ask you that, Dennis. Don't you love it? You know, my feeling is, okay, has anyone else had a dream where, you know, maybe you have an older animal and you have a dream and the animal is running and playing and chasing the ball or chasing the squirrel or whatever, and that is their heaven. That, to me, is they're back in their, you know, probably like humans, back in their, you know, mid-30s kind of life, and they're, you know, having a ball, literally. And so that's the feeling I get, is they are at their prime age. They feel better. They're not sick. And they're just having a great time. Yeah.
It's very similar to humans.
Very similar.
So I want to get back to that article a little bit, Dusty, because I know last time when we were talking about it, I said I would ask you. I went through it. There's a couple of other things I disagree with, but there's one thing on cats that I thought was awfully simplistic. But, you know, I just wrote, ask Dusty. Okay, so because I get to ask Dusty, the cat wrangler. I get to ask the cat expert. I don't have to think about this stuff. So it's a tricky one. After saying how much we should appreciate animals more and assign them more value, they then say that there are only two types of personalities in cats, bold and shy. And I just think, like, really? That's all you got? You only ranked one category? What do you think? What's your reaction to that? Two types.
Well, I would like to know who their cat experts were. I mean, really? Two kinds of cats? Well, I guess
Seriously.
There are two kinds of cats. Those that are breeding, three kinds. Those who are breeding and those who aren't. I mean, that's like saying that. And then, of course, we get into this paranormal aspect, and then that's not true either.
Two personality categories, they say. There are three studies, and there are only two personality categories. And then they ascribe all the bold cats are confident, easygoing, sociable, and trusting, while the fearful cats are timid, nervous, shy, and unfriendly. Well, what about clever, like all the other affectionate, like none of that's there. And I totally think this is ridiculous.
Well, it sounds like it was written by a dog person, really. Somebody who is sitting there looking at cats. And I love dog people. but what I'm saying is this sounds like it was written by somebody who does not know a lot about feline personalities. And
that's crazy. So what would you say? I mean, give me some examples of personalities that aren't even here, that are overlooked in this little summary.
Well, I mean, to give you an example, like
playful,
humans.
Interactive, there's all, right? I mean...
Well, and even that, you know, playful could have to do with the time of the animal's life. You know, kittens are going to be more playful than a 15-year-old cat. So,
but aggression isn't mentioned here. Like all there's so many things that aren't mentioned here.
There are so many different kinds of aggression. There's aggression because they feel threatened by a person. There's aggression because they feel threatened by a cat. There's a redirected. Aggression because the cat outside is bothering them, and they're the only way they can lash out is at their human or another cat. So, I mean, you know, there are as many types of personalities in cats as there are in dogs, and a lot of it has to do.
You know, and they say earlier in it that cats are more primitive, more wild than dogs, which I think might be true to a certain degree because cats have been bred for looks rather than function, but I do think there are some examples like the Shiba Inu, the Malamute, the Husky. They're pretty close to the wild dog, or when you have a koi cross, a wolf cross, coyote cross, something like that. I don't see that there's a big wildness difference between the cat and the dog. Do you?
No, not well. You know, it really depends on the dog. I mean, if you have a poodle or a herding dog. I mean, those are not going to be very wild. But cats.
Except, you know what though? In both those cases, a blue heeler does just fine on its own when the herdsman doesn't come back for weeks. And in a standard poodle's case, the coat's a bit of a problem, but they can hunt. They really are successful hunters. So I don't know. I think they'd just dreadlock up and they'd be just fine in a cold climate, which is what they were bred for. So I'm not so sure. Some of our breeding, because it was for tasks that actually suit survival, it may not be such a bad thing. They may be pretty close to the wild animal after all. But it's said also that cats, wild cats, years and years ago, historically, were less fearful than wolves or wild dogs. And I thought that was a bit of a...
Oh, that's crazy. Cats are afraid of everything. That's
and
why
they're
cats...
tiny, right? I mean, if you're a 10-pound carnivore as opposed to an 80-pound wolf, who's going to be more afraid?
Everything wants to eat cats. And that's one of the problems that kitties have living in people's homes. They don't get enough stimulation. It creates lack of activity, lack of things to do. Create stress, and stress creates something called interstitial cystitis. And so you have cats that are actually physically being hurt by a lack of activity,
bored to death, right? They're being bored to death. I get it.
Actually, that's a very good way to put it, yes. Absolutely.
Well, and you can see it in zoos sometimes where the animals pace or circle, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to know more about how you can make your cat's world more exciting, go to dustycatwriter.com. If you want to know more about the information and the science and the anecdotal experiences people have had with the afterlife, go to afterlifedata.com. And if you want to talk with Tara, the medium, and hear what she does, go to themagicalmatrix.com. If you'd like to hear some more shows from me, DeborahWolfOnline.com is where I put a lot of my shows. And if you want to see those cute rescue kittens, well, you will. We're going to take more photos today, more video of my kids playing with the kittens, and we'll be posting them on Facebook, Camp Good Dog. And we're finally out of the bottle and milk stage. They're finally feeding and using the litter box, and it's a lot easier. If you can ever avoid adopting kittens before they're 2 months of age, do so, because they're better off with their mom. But if you have to rescue them and you need some help with that, you can call my show and I'll tell you how to do it. So next week, we'll be back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Until then, from me, Deb Wolf, and All Paws Pet Talk, be good to your animals. And thank you again. Thank you, Tara, Dennis, Michelle, and Dusty. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Great.
All right. So, everyone, until next week, be good to your animals from All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And